We started a series on the heroes of faith a couple, 3 weeks ago, and we're going to be continuing that series, and it's really kind of interesting because one of the things that we were sitting around a few nights ago up in, somebody calls it the elders' room or the upper room or whoever knows, sometimes it's a room where we just get carried away and hope things come out well, and thank goodness the Lord is with us, and reminds us to go home at times. But one of the things that popped up was an interesting phrase, why am I here? And I think back and I look at the life of Abraham. You know, there were probably a lot of times in his life he could have said, why am I here? He had it pretty good. Had a lot of, you know, we read in there that, you know, he was a rich guy. Had a lot of possessions, good family, good place to live. And then one day God said, pack it all in and get up and go. And as we go through this lesson later on this morning, I want you to look at a couple things in your own life and ask yourself a couple things. Why are you here this morning? Why are you in the seats you're in? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Abraham didn't necessarily know what he was getting into. But as some of the things that we're going to see in the words that were first presented to him, there was a long-range goal and a long-range plan. And you know, part of the reason that you're here today is because he got up and went. Big reason. Think about Abraham. There's an interesting fact. Shem, who Abraham is a descendant of, lived 500 years after the birth of his first son, or after the flood, somewhere along there. He lived about 600 years. Abraham came around 400 years later. You ever think of a big event and wanted to go talk to somebody about it, but it was 400 or 500 years ago? Abraham had the ability to actually talk to somebody who was on the boat. That's a pretty interesting thing. You know, we think 400 or 500 years is a long time. It is. But yet there was somebody there for him to talk to. But Abraham's life touches a lot of people, touches all of us. I asked Rick if he wanted to do the song Father Abraham. He didn't want to do it, and I can understand why. It takes a lot of energy. But you know, there's a line in that song that says, Father Abraham had a lot of sons. And you know, we're those sons and those daughters. We're those kids. As you look at the life that you have and why you're here, think about the impact that you have on others today and in the generations to come. Just like Abraham has touched all of us, so too can we touch people that haven't even been thought of in our minds, maybe centuries from now. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you so much for the care that you have for us, the desire for us, the fact that you want us to be with you. God, it is so simple that it staggers us sometimes to think we don't hear your message and hear the things that you have in front of us. But Father, you've put us on a journey. We pray, Father, that we answer that call, that we have the faith and the obedience and the trust to get up and follow you, to deal with the things that you put in front of us, even though we don't know what they are or how they're going to turn out. Father, help us to grasp on to the eternity that you are giving us, the joy and the peace and the wonderfulness, that we can lose sight of this world to gain the sight of the world with you forever. Father, we thank you for your Son who's left us your word and for your Spirit that lives within us. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Morning. I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19. If you'd like to follow along, I'm reading from the NIV. By faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to that city with foundations, whose architect is the builder, and whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who made the promise. And so from that one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the countless of the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that they were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead, death.
So have y'all figured out why you're here? Sad note today. You know, we've been talking about Bill's dad and praying for him. He passed away the other day. And our heartfelt sympathies and condolences go out to Bill and his family. And I know all of us want to put an arm around him. And Brian will have some details when he gets up and makes announcements later. But remember to keep Bill and his family again in your prayers at the passing of his dad. Technology is an interesting thing. I'm sitting here with this thing wrapped around my ear and trying to figure out if I'm comfortable with it. And then I'm also realizing I'm getting older, not old, but just getting older this morning. I can tell a sign of getting old is when you remember you're going to do something and you tell yourself and you set yourself a reminder, and of course you forget. This morning I was sitting, and this is no reflection on anybody else but me, but this morning I was sitting there in Rick's class and there was a cell phone going off. It was mine. I was walking in the building and say, "Turn that thing off." So if you have one going off in here during this sermon, it's okay. I've been there and I've done that and I know how you feel when it happens, but it doesn't bother me. So don't worry about it. Heroes of faith. Abraham, a guy who had it pretty well off, and yet he was called to go and do something. And he walked by faith, and it not only pleased God, but it had a very far-reaching impact on all of mankind, all of us sitting here. And I asked a question earlier, do we have an impact on others? As we move into this section of Hebrews, we're looking at the patriarchs. We're looking at those people who began to take God's plan and see it put into action. And his plan was a plan that just wasn't for Abraham. And it wasn't for his family and his relatives and all the belongings that he had. It had a far, far deeper impact, far deeper future, and a far deeper plan. But the plan was not Abraham's. It was God's plan. And it was not only his plan, but the gifts that were going to be given, that were going to be promised to Abraham, were gifts that were coming from God. And the most interesting aspect is this whole plan was to be carried out in God's time. And that was something that, you know, as we look at Abraham's life, even he struggled with. But it's something that we tend to struggle with in our lives, dealing with things in God's time as opposed to in our time. But what did it take for Abraham to be able to carry out the things that he did? He had a relationship, obviously. He must have had some kind of relationship with God because God calls him. And God is going to make this call to him, and he's going to face him with three big questions that Abraham is going to have to deal with. When he's called to get up and go, he didn't know where he was going to go. Also, he didn't know how the things that were going to be offered to him and promised to him were going to be accomplished. And he did not know why God was working these things the way he was working them. Didn't know where he was going, how it was going to be accomplished, or why it was going to happen the way it was going to happen. Interesting mysteries. And it was one other extremely important element in this calling of Abraham and the promise that was given to him. Waiting. Yep, waiting. How often do you just love to sit there and hear something really big coming along, something laid out in front of you, and then you find out you got to wait? Have you ever thought of waiting as a discipline? Now, last week we were talking about listening, and part of that listening was waiting to hear the response. You know, do we think of waiting as a discipline that we need to practice and adhere? You know, you really need to look at waiting as a piece of patience, a very big part of patience, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things that, you know, we're given that gift and we're given that strength because God knows we have a hard time with it. We try to force the issues all too often and not listen and wait. For me, it's really difficult at times. There's some things I'm really good at, and if you ask my wife, she'll tell you there's a lot of things that I got to force the issue and I got to have it now. We all struggle with that. Anybody in here who doesn't struggle with that on at least one item? No hands. Well, see, we're all going back to Noah. We're all in the same boat. So was Abraham. But one of the things about Abraham is that while we're waiting, we need to be obeying. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed when he did not know where he was going. A call and a promise came to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. As John was reading a minute ago, it talked about how they lived. They lived in tents. They lived in tents because they were strangers, because they were pilgrims, and because they had to be ready to go when God called them to move on. When God was reaching out, they were ready to listen, ready to pack up and move. You know, today, as Peter tells us, we're strangers. We're pilgrims. What are we strangers and pilgrims of? What was Abraham a stranger to? As he was dealing at this point, he was in a strange land. He wasn't in his home. He'd gotten up, he left. And it was an interesting experience. We don't always feel comfortable when we move. How many people here have had to move sometime in their life? Okay. How did you feel when you first got to where you were going? How many people did you know? For a lot of us, when we moved somewhere, we didn't know anybody. We were strangers in a strange land. Abraham got a call from God telling him to pack up and get away from all the things he had. I'm going to take you somewhere else. And not only am I going to take you somewhere else, but I'm going to make of you a great nation. Maybe he was scared. Maybe he didn't really feel too comfortable about it. But the interesting aspect of his faith and his relationship with God was he immediately expressed the obedience to God's call. He had a motivation for that obedience, and that was obtaining the promised land. God gave him a call and gave him a promise. So he lived like a stranger in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with those who were heirs with him of the same promise. When the writer describes Abraham as looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God, he portrays his ultimate goal as the heavenly country or heavenly city mentioned later on in chapters 11 and 12. When we respond to God, what do we respond looking towards? Do we respond looking for something that we'll obtain next week or next month? Or do we look for that long-term promise of the promised land? Do we look forward to being with God in eternity? Do we look forward to the fact that this world we're living in now is not our home? That our home is somewhere else? And in that sense, we become strangers to where we are today, and we become residents in that heavenly kingdom. Waiting for God to provide them with an earthly inheritance, the patriarchs came to realize that this life is not an end in itself, but it's a pilgrimage toward a future that God alone can construct for his people. Abraham also obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. In verses 11 and 12, you know, we start being introduced to Isaac. And going back to Genesis 12, he was going to be the father of innumerable descendants. There is an interesting phrase in the reading we heard today from John that characterized Abraham as basically dead. He's an old, old man. Now, guys, you know, it gets tough when you get to be old. But they were well up into their 75, 85, you know, 95, getting close to 100. Sarah hadn't had any children. But yet, the promise was that there would be nations. Innumerable. How is this going to happen? Although Abraham was past age and as good as dead, and Sarah herself was barren, by faith, he was enabled to be a father. They were both too old to have children, yet they both believed that God would do the miracle. From the standpoint of somebody who's an unbeliever, they might say, when faced with a dilemma from God, how can this be? How can that happen? But from somebody who has faith, they look at that question and say, how shall it be? Not how can it be, but how shall it be? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to let him do it. You know, here's one of those examples where Abraham, like us, heard the promise, but didn't understand how it was going to be. And he tried to force the issue. And yet when Ishmael was born, Abraham found out that wasn't the promise. That wasn't what God was putting forth. So God basically, you know, like a little child, you could say, he sat him down and said, hey, you know, this is the way it is. It's my way, not yours. And Abraham had to do a double take, but he put his faith in God. And we know that as he did that, Isaac was born. Isaac was the son of the promise, the son of a promise that came to a couple that were well beyond the age of children. God accomplished something, and it happened because of faith. But it's interesting in Hebrews 11, 13, and 14, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Have you ever stopped to think about all these people that we read about in the Old Testament? Abraham receiving that promise, and yet he didn't see the results. He didn't see the descendants that were innumerable, greater than the stars in the sky. Yet he still lived with that faith. What he saw was the far-reaching picture. He saw the blessings that were going to come. He saw the fact that this was a generational thing, a long-term thing. It wasn't necessarily something I had to grasp on and see those results. What was important to him was I had to be with God. I had to put my faith in him, and while putting my faith in him, I needed to obey and to do the things he asked. And that was what his requirements were, to do the things that he was asked. They did not have the same clear promise of a heavenly homeland that we have today. It's kind of interesting, you know, they didn't see and didn't have presented the pictures that we have today. But they had the same kind of faith that we can have today. Or I should say, we can have the same kind of faith that they had. And finally, Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not know why God was doing the things he was doing. You're 100 years old, and a son is born to you. It's got to be a pretty important day. Those of you with newborns know what it's like to see a baby. When you're 100 years old and you see that baby, that's going to be a shock, and then B, wow, how did this happen? And see, God really is an amazing God. But this son, Isaac, was the one from whom all these descendants were going to be coming. And God turns around and looks at Abraham and says, okay, now you need to sacrifice Isaac. You need to take him up on the mountain, put him on the altar, and slay him. Give him back. Why would God want Abraham to sacrifice his son when it was the Lord who gave him that son? All of a future nation's promises were wrapped up in Isaac. Yet, we look at Abraham's life, and we saw that he took his son up into the mountain. He took his son up and laid him out and pulled out the knife and was prepared to do what God had asked. What kind of faith could that take, that Abraham was willing to give up his son? It took a kind of faith that, as we read in Hebrews, where he believed God could deliver Isaac from death. It took a kind of faith that said, God has got all of this stuff in front of us. and I can follow him without the fear over what to me seems impossible. That he can restore life in whatever form it needs to be restored. He went up there with the expectation that when he came back, Isaac would return from him, would return with him. That even though he was going to carry out what God had asked, he knew that he'd come back with Isaac. That's a faith, because he was going to do exactly what God asked. He knew from his senses that he was going to take that life out of Isaac. And yet he knew, because of his faith in God, that that sacrifice would be returned. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Interesting aspect. God looked at Abraham and said, "It's not your son that has to die. It's mine." The tests of faith become more difficult as we walk with God. Think of all the things that Abraham had to do. He had to get up and leave a comfortable home, travel in a strange land, had to have a child when things were beyond childbearing years. Each of these tests of faith were just building and building. But when he was asked to give up his son, he reached the crescendo, and he carried forth and acted on that faith. In our lives, as we walk with God, we're going to find that as we continue walking, the temptations and the tests and the trials that we face will get more difficult. But we still have God who is strengthening us and growing us and holding us together. We must not ignore the obedient faith that came through so clearly in Abraham's life. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews is a summary that calls the list of men and women so great a cloud of witnesses. They're witnesses to us because God witnessed to them. In each example cited, God gave witness to that person's faith. This witness was his divine approval of their lives and their ministries. True Bible faith is a confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. Why am I here? Why am I here today in this room? It's because God has cared for us, has shared with us his hope and his desire. He's created us to be with him. And in spite of the actions that we've carried forth in our life, he takes us back. He puts his arms around us. The common term on TV I keep hearing is he puts a lot of loving on us. He wants us. That future home is something we can have today with him. We can be strangers here in this world, but full-time residences with him in heaven, and we can start now. Abraham began his journey by turning aside from his comfort zone, by recognizing that God had something more for him in store than just the home he was living in. And he called him. Jesus is calling to us to come home, to come back to the God who created us. We look at the things in our lives that we've done and we realize at times we've really made some pretty bad choices. We've got some situations in our life that are really difficult to deal with. And when we try to fathom them on our own, they only get harder. But when we look to Jesus, we find a Savior who gave his all for our lives. Abraham, you could say, was baptized when he left his home and went through the desert. When we turn our lives over to Christ and are buried in the water, we've left our desert and our home, and we're journeying with God. What kind of journey do you have? Is your journey one that's made complete because you wake up every day with Christ and you go to bed every night with Christ? Or is your journey missing a whole lot because you really haven't found the one person who can hold it all together? Abraham needed Isaac, but he needed God to have Isaac. We all needed Isaac. And the things that we do can affect those around us and those for generations to come. So if you haven't found Jesus, I implore you to look for him. He's right next to you. He's right in front of you. And if you're struggling because you've left him, he's still right in front of you and right next to you, taking you on the journey. He'll take you home. He'll give you life. Life where, on our standpoint, is impossible, but with him, it's totally possible. Call to him. Come home to him. If there's anything that anyone here is struggling with, God's there to help us. We can help each other and pray together. We can help each other and be together. But we need to be with Jesus in all of the things that we do. So I ask you to look inside your hearts and, you know, do one of those self-evaluations. Where's your life today? Are you on the journey with God? Or are you still sitting in that comfort zone? If there's anything, any way in which we can help, we'd love to help. If there's anything in your life that you really need to shed, let's do it. If you need to come to Christ, we encourage you to think about doing that now. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, and as we sing that song, I just, you know, ask you all, just look into your hearts and look at that question. Why am I here? Where's my journey taking me? Let's sing.